Well, it is good to see everyone out this evening. Thankful to God that we've had a good day and that we have the health and opportunity to come out and worship Him and a little bit about the Word of God and the work that's going on. As was mentioned this evening, I'd like to spend some time talking about the recent trip made to Colombia, highlight some of the highlights in my mind of the trip that might be not only instructional, but encouraging for our work here in this locale. The trip, Colombia, went the 13th through the 25th. These are basically the expenses on the trip. $2,500 was the total, which is more than normal. But normally, going to a place like Honduras, I usually fly there and drive to the various places. But Colombia is a bigger place. And so I actually flew to two different places, and that added up with the price. If anybody wants any more details of that, please let me know. I'll be glad to send you a spreadsheet of that. I've already done that to sent that to the elders and to Charles, the treasurer. This is where Colombia is, in the top of South America. Flew into Bogota. And I guess the reason why this trip at this particular time, I went last year with Steve Klein and Isaac Munoz, and since that time, one particular preacher in Bogota, David Jerez, wrote me and said, you need to come back, you need to come back, you need to come back. So I said, okay, I'll come back, do a little bit of work in Bogota. But I wanted to go other places as well that really don't get visited that much. There are 13 faithful churches that I know of in Bogota, and a variety of churches in other places. So Mac McMurray went this January, and sent a report about it. So I called Mac and said, where can we go where brethren don't normally go? And he mentioned two places, and those are the two places that we went. One was down in Leticia, which is right in the southern part to border of Colombia that borders Brazil and also Peru that is on the Amazon River, and also up to Cartagena and a variety of churches in that area there. So that was kind of the motivation of why go to these particular places in Colombia. These are the other two guys that I traveled with the first two-thirds of the trip. Jeb Reeves, who used to preach over in Athens at Westview, is now in Colorado. And also Elver Espinosa, who is in Chiapas, Mexico. And Jeb is fluent in Spanish. Elver is fluent, obviously, in Spanish, but also in English. So he, on a couple of occasions, served as my translator in Bible studies and in the sermons. Preached some in Spanish, but also did some in English, depending on the circumstance. In Bogota, Sonia and Henry Jerez were our hosts, and we were able to stay in their house, Elver and Jeb in their living room, and me in a small extra bedroom. They were very gracious to us. The church there in Rincon, Bogota, Rincon is kind of the area in Bogota. The church meets here. And this is a rather large congregation. We met on Friday night and on Saturday and also on Sunday. And it is a group of about 110 Christians. They have three full-time preachers. They also work with other groups, but the main group is there in Rincon. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they had multiple speakers. In fact, on Saturday, all three of us spoke. I thought it was interesting. Typically, on Saturday, they meet at 5 o'clock, and they practice for an hour their singing. And then at 6 o'clock, they have a Bible study, a group Bible study that lasts 1 hour. And then at 7 o'clock, they divide up into classes, and they have classes for children. Then on Sunday, when they come together, they also divide up into classes first, and then they have a worship service right after that. So rather than having the singing practice and all of that, they just had, on Saturday night, they had all three of us deliver a sermon during that evening, and we sang in between. Singing there, since they practice, was really very good. They're working on the four-part harmony. They typically just sing the melody. But when you have a concrete floor and concrete walls and you have 110 people in a small area, the singing, it can really be good. And they practiced it, and their singing was, I thought, excellent. One of the really encouraging things on this trip was I happened to see this young lady here, Lena, and when she saw me as well, her eyes lit up because last year in November, David Jerez and I were walking the street to go to a Bible study, and he got a phone call, and the Bible study was canceled. And so he said, well, now what are we going to do? And he got on his phone, and he called a woman who sold him a mattress and asked her, do you want to have a Bible study? And she said, well, I'm sick today, but okay, come over. So we went over to Lena's house, and her husband Jose was there as well, and we had a Bible study when she was sniffling and not feeling very good. But, you know, what good long-term is going to come from that? Well, she walked into the church building there in Bogota. Her and her husband were baptized about 3 months ago. And so that was really a joyous thing for me to be able to see her once again. And she was feeling a lot better. On Sunday evening, we had a Bible study on conflict resolution within marriage at Henry Jerez's home. And they have somewhat of a Valentine's Day. We have it in February. They have it in September. So that Sunday was Valentine's Day, their Valentine's Day, or their Day of Love, they call it. And rather than going out to a restaurant and celebrating, they went to a Bible study. And we led that Bible study about conflict resolution and talked about some biblical principles. If any of you were in our counseling sessions, me and Martha's, before you got married, you kind of know what we talked about. But we talked about that maybe 45 minutes or so. And then we opened it up for comments. And boy, did we get some comments and some questions. Some were very thinly veiled questions about some circumstances that they were dealing with in their marriages. But I thought it was just a fun evening. And then afterward, a lot of them exchanged gifts for each other on this day of love that they had. But there were 28 people in a very small, crowded space. And really enjoyed that time that we were in Bogota. Well, we left Monday morning and went down to the south to this city called Leticia that's right on the border. Elver is pointing to a map that was painted on the side of a wall there in the city of where Leticia is. Leticia is in Colombia, and Tabatinga is in Brazil, and then over the Amazon River is Peru. So it's right there on the border. And this area is not accessible by car. There are no roads that go there. Right in the middle of the country of Colombia is jungle. And there's just not a lot of traffic that goes through there. And so you have to go there either by boat, which is either a one-month trip or a four-day trip. We didn't want to spend either one of those on the river. So we took an airplane, which was 2 hours, south to Leticia. And there we were able to spend a few days. Vanessa and Armando moved there about 8 years ago because a conversion took place about 8 years ago. And there was no church there at the time. So he was encouraged to move there. He moved there and met his future wife, Vanessa. She was part of one of the indigenous groups in Brazil. She was converted, she and her sister, and she and Armando married, and he's been preaching there for about 8 years. And they were joined by another man, Eduard, who is also from the same area where Armando was, which is up north in Colombia. He also moved there to preach the gospel about 6 years ago. He met Vanessa's wife, sister, Juanita, and they were married. Juanita actually had surgery 4 days before and was in a lot of pain. That's the reason why she's looking the way she is laying in that position. But they both have two kids. Leticia is right on the border, so if you see that kind of little creek river there, and looking out to the end, that's the Amazon River. And across that creek is actually an island. During the rainy season, the water is all the way up to this concrete and all the way across to the other side. This is looking straight across to these houses that are on stilts on the other side. The houses that are on this side are actually on flotation devices and are actually up suspended when the water flows through that during the rainy season. And if you look a little bit closer across this this little creek there, this little river there, to this two-story house, in modern times, that's where the first Christian in Leticia lives. About 8 years ago, Calvin Schlebach went and visited this area where there was not a church and went door knocking, knocked on this lady's door, sat down and taught her the gospel. She was converted. And because of that conversion, a church was started there in Leticia. And Armando went down there, and then he met his wife, and also Eduard went down there. And so there is now a church there in Leticia because of the work that was done just by going door knocking. This is the church building there in Leticia. And the first night that we were there, we went and we met with four of the men of the congregation for them to ask questions. A couple of interesting things about this particular place. This white wall here is actually their side wall, but is the back wall of a bar. And so at night, the bar has loud music. And so you hear this constant thump, thump, thump while you're in services. And so they have a PA system. I mean, they've only got 15 people in this church, but they've got a PA system to drown out the bar while you're trying to worship. It's quite a challenge, but nonetheless. But these four men, they met, wanted to talk about various things. We opened up the Bible, and they just had a lot of questions. And one of the main questions they had was about demons. They said a lot of the, particularly the indigenous people, the native people in that area, believed in spirits, and spirits dwelling in you and influencing you and the spirits being around you. And so you start teaching them the Bible and they learn about demons and they start mixing these concepts of demons and spirits. And so they really needed some clarification on demons. And so it was a good study, but it was a challenging study with the amount of information we know and don't know from Scripture about demons. But nonetheless, found them very not only interested in the Word of God, but also able to understand and have a good understanding of the Word of God. Now, the sister city to Leticia, Colombia, is Tabatinga, Brazil. When you cross the border, there are no border guards. There is no check that you go through, no passports that you have to get stamped. You just cross over into Tabatinga. Leticia, by the way, is about 20,000. Tabatinga, I think, is larger than that. A couple of the Christians live there. And we took these taxis that cost us about $1.75 for the four of us to go to the village where there is another church, and we had a couple of studies. I'll show you in just a moment. But this is us getting ready to go into the van there. And the van had two bench seats in it, and when we got in the bench seat, they were both full. And so Armando pointed to two people and said, "Move, he's going to sit there." And so Elver thought it was really interesting, me trying to fit into that spot where Armando told me to sit. And had about a 20-minute ride, and a little uncomfortable, but anyway, he got a kick out of it. This is the Amazon River that we kind of drove beside on our way to that village. And when I thought of the Amazon River, I thought Jungle Book. And, you know, this little river with snakes and baboons and all this. And really, you got to think more of the Mississippi River when you think of the Amazon. It is a big river with a strong current. And those boats that are on it are taxis that are taking people up and down the river. And obviously a lot of commerce takes place on the river, a lot of fishing takes place there. It's a little bit closer picture of some of the people who are fishing on the Amazon River. And we went to this village. This is the side of a store. And this Amariku is the name of the particular village that we went. And actually, there is a church that meets in this village. Now, as we walk through that, there's Armando and Edward as they're going down the street in the middle of this village. It was almost deserted because in the daytime, people walk about an hour into the jungle to their little plot of land, and that's where they work and then until sunset, and then they come out and they come back to their village, and that's where they live. So we weren't able to have a lot of Bible studies in the village with a lot of other people. Thought this was interesting to see a kid play marbles in the village. That's kind of a worldwide thing. But this is a church building in Amariku, and a little bit of a close-up there of the Church of Christ sign that is in Portuguese. Brazil, the native language is Portuguese. And so actually we had a Bible study. This is actually the native language of that particular tribe, Romans 1 and verse 16. And so the people that we were able to study with spoke Spanish and Portuguese and this native language. And this is one of the sisters there, Laundes, and she is standing by a huge iron where she dries yucca. They crush the yucca. And all through this area, the yucca plant is the staple. You know, we talked this morning about the bread of life and in Israel, how important bread was. Or you go over, Harriet mentioned, for example, you go over in China and it's rice that is so important. Well, you go to this area and it's the yucca plant, which is kind of a grainy potato. And they do all kinds of things with the yucca plant. But there she was next to the place where they dry it. And this was the study that we were able to have. Juan is retired, and the young man sitting next to him was not working. And so we were able to have a study with him on this day. And also the next day, we went back and had a study with him and some other ones, with a university student, the young man there in the yellow shirt, and also his father. But it had some very good studies. And it was interesting, the topics they wanted us to talk about. Number one topic was, what do you do when brethren don't get along? And how do brethren get along better? I thought that was interesting how universal church problems are and dealing with problems and trying to help people to get along better. We also had a good Bible study in Tabatinga in this lady's house named Anna. And Anna is sitting there with the little child on her lap, and her daughter in the green skirt here was a Christian. She's 13 years old, and the mother of this little daughter is on the other side of Anna, and she's not a Christian. She's had this child out of wedlock. She's living with a young man now, and so we had an opportunity to sit down and study the Bible with her, talk about what Christ would have her do and what salvation is all about. We almost didn't have the study because Anna was embarrassed for us to come. She said, I'm embarrassed because I have no chairs, and I don't want them to have to sit on the floor. Well, of course, we said, you know, we don't need a chair. We can sit right on the floor and have a Bible study, and that's what we did. So Anna actually is a widow. Her husband died about 6 years ago, not long after her child died at the age of 6 months, and that was around the time that she was baptized into Christ. So she had both tragedy as well as joy in that time frame in her life. This is the church there in Leticia. And if you look on the back, you see Armando with his wife and also Edward. His wife is not there because of her surgery. And one of the things, you just never know timing-wise what's going to happen when you go and visit with people. One of the things that happened here is that Armando and his wife were about to move to a new city. there was a family that was converted that moved to this city called Mocoa. And there's not a church in Mocoa. And so they put the word out, we want to start a church in Mocoa. And so Armando and his wife said, we'll go. Now, Mocoa, there's no roads that are going to lead from Leticia out, so they're going to have to take a plane. In fact, they did this on Thursday. They took a plane out of Leticia to Bogota, and then they're taking a transport from Bogota to Cali, and then Cali to Mocoa. It's going to be about a 15-hour trip. Since they aren't able to go along the land, they had to sell everything they had, and all they had were their suitcases that they took on the plane to move to a new place, and neither one had ever been there. And Vanessa had never lived anywhere but Leticia. And so they were really stressed at this move. Not only were they stressed, but also Edward and his wife, who is the sister of Vanessa, were also highly stressed because they were losing their co-worker and they were going to be alone within this church. And so Jeb Reeves was able to talk to them and say, well, you know, my wife Sheila had never been to Chiapas, Mexico when we moved there to help with the work in Chiapas. And I was able to say, Martha had never been to Budapest, Hungary before we moved there. But let us tell you about some of the experiences that we had, some of the difficulties we had, some of the joys we had of going into a new area and trying to establish a work. So hopefully that happenstance, that providence allowed us to give them a little bit of fortification for the tremendous change and tremendous leap of faith, walk of faith that they are on right now. So if you would, pray for them when you remember that they are en route right now in the process. They're in Cali right now, and tomorrow going to be going to their new home that they've never been to before, but where they're going to try to establish the work of the Lord. After that, actually, Elver and Jeb went home, and Craig Hearn meets me in Cartagena. Cartagena is on the northern coast of Chile. Cartagena is a large city, even though we really didn't spend any time there. There is a walled part of the city that was built many years ago to keep away pirates, and there's also a very modern city that's there. Both of these pictures were taken from the van as we drove through the city on the way to where the churches actually meet. And this was kind of at least part of the group that met, Juan Carlos and Craig Hearn and myself and Miguel and also Gregorio. And I'll talk about Juan and Carlos and Gregorio in a little bit because they are the brethren from Venezuela. They met us when we arrived. They stayed with us the time that we were there, and they left when we left as well. And what we're eating are called arepas, which is kind of a cornmeal piece of bread, as it were, with eggs inside. And that's kind of the staple of Colombia, arepas. These are two preachers that we're able to spend time with. I don't remember the first gentleman's name. I didn't spend much time with him. But the second one over is Jesus Vargas. And then there's Craig Hearn. And then Haria Arcia. And then myself. And just a little bit about them. Jesus Vargas is actually from Venezuela also. There are thousands of Venezuelans in Colombia, because it's so, the economics are so bad in Venezuela. In fact, when we were just driving along in the streets, when you stop at a stoplight, you would have young men who would, maybe they would put some mints on your window, or maybe they would try to wash your window, or maybe they tried to sell you something else. Most of them were Venezuelans who had no other means of support other than trying to get a few cents from individuals washing their windows or selling some mints or something like that. Thousands of Venezuelans are in Colombia right now because of the situation in Venezuela. Well, Jesus came as well to try to find work. He, in fact, is the son of a preacher, and I found out very quickly the needs that were there, and so the church is now allowing him to stay in the church building, which is actually a house, free of charge. And also, there is a church, the church in Bogota, is sending him $100, he and his wife, $100 a month in order for him to work. Javier, the fourth guy over, Arcia, is a native Colombian. He and his wife and his young child work at a neighboring congregation, and he makes about $130 a month. Actually, both of those individuals could really use some extra help if anybody's interested in helping them out maybe on a monthly basis. But both individuals are strong, good teachers. Won't spend a lot of time with this because I kind of talked about this last Sunday morning, but Jesus and Javier organized a lot of Bible studies for us, and so we went out into the community and had several very good Bible studies. This is the church that Jesus and his wife work with, the church there in Las Piedras. The lady there all the way on the right in the white shirt, her name is Cielo, which means heaven. It's actually her house that they're meeting in. She lives across the street in another house right now. But that's the house behind those curtains. There's a bed there that Jesus and his wife are able to live in while Jesus is preaching there for that particular congregation. We visited with a church in Cartagena, but just briefly because of time, but also spent some time with the church in Turbaco, which is where Javier preaches at this time. We had three baptisms while there. There is Nelly being baptized. And last week I showed you this picture of Jessica being baptized and also Piedad being baptized there in Villa de Nueva. But let me move on to Juan Carlos and also Gregorio Diaz. Both of them are from Venezuela. As you recall, I took about $1,435, well not about, I took $1,435 to give the brethren. Craig also gave them $2,000. So altogether we gave them $3,435, so that they could take it back to the brethren in Venezuela. The situation in Venezuela, as I understand, there are about 30 churches of the Lord in Venezuela. And they are in desperate straits because of the general economy is so poor. The situation, for example, Juan Carlos was saying that he went very recently without water for 2 weeks. You know, that the water just sometimes shuts off. Many times they go without electricity. They have a very difficult time finding food. It just doesn't exist. It's just not there. The economy is so poor. The government is strangling the economy to the extent that the people, the common, ordinary people, are just suffering. And so they're having difficulty with just the staples of life. One of the brethren where Gregorio preaches, and Gregorio is preaching with three different groups, with one Spanish-speaking group and also two indigenous native-speaking groups. But one of the brethren, older brethren, where Gregorio preached this last spring, died just because there was no medicine. He needed medicine to live. There was no medicine. He died. I mean, that's the dire straits that, unfortunately, they are in because of the political situation that's there. So they were extremely appreciative of the money that we were able to give them. Hopefully, it will be able to go a long way. One of the things they did on their way home was buy Bibles. They said there are no Bibles in Venezuela. Where Gregorio preaches, they baptized five recently, and none of them have a Bible. And so on the way home, they stopped at a city in Colombia, Barranquilla, and they bought some Bibles so that they could take them across the border. And there in Las Piedras, Sister Cielo had a friend who was a pharmacist who sold them medicines at her cost so that they could take them across the border as well. Both Craig and I gave them our backpacks so they could pack more stuff in to be able to take across the border. And in fact, Gregorio, I just heard from yesterday, was across the border again in order to buy more things for the brethren. To go across the border, let me just explain that. This is really washed out here. But Venezuela is right next to Colombia, and then you have the Atlantic Ocean there, and I circled Dominica there up in the corner. You remember some of us went to Dominica several years ago. Well, that's above South America. Well, where they are from is Maracaibo in Venezuela, and for them to get to where we were, which is over here in Cartagena, took them 10 hours by bus overnight in order for them to get there. And obviously to go back. And the other city that I circled there, Maicao, is just across the border. They said, in the future, if we ever send any more relief, we can't send it to Venezuela. They just don't have the system, monetary system, for us to send it to them. And even if we did, if they got it in their money, which is bolivars, they have about a 2,500% inflation rate, and estimated by the end of the year they will have a 1,000,000% inflation rate. So they don't want their own money. They want either the pesos of the Colombians or they want American dollars, because that is something that has some value. So they have to cross over the border in order to find food and medicines and or to be able to receive any money that we might send in the future. But they were very grateful, and they said that they would document what they do as far as distributing that money to the saints that are there and report if there are any needs in the future. This is actually a picture of Maracaibo, Venezuela. So it is a large city, but it is a city economically that is hurting a great deal. So just to kind of wrap it up, a couple of things that we might consider. Number one, please pray for these works, for the brethren that are down there. Many of them are working extremely hard. A lot of good is being done, taking the gospel to the lost, and particularly Armando and his family as they go to Mocoa and try and start this new work there. A couple of the churches specifically said that they did not have enough songbooks. Those songbooks, that's certainly not the right price. They're $150. Yes, I guess it is. 15 books, about $10 a piece, $150. The problem is getting it there. Just regular mail would cost a tremendous amount to get it there, so we're trying to work out a way to do that. So if you want to help with that, if you'd like to help with maybe support for Jesus or Javier, and perhaps in the future, there might be some more benevolent opportunities for the brethren there in Venezuela. So I know that was a kind of a quick overview of the trip, but hopefully some of the highlights that would be an encouragement. There is a lot of good work that's being done around this world. Places that I had never heard of a few years ago, I'd never thought about it. Are there any churches in Venezuela? Are there any good brethren in Venezuela? Yes, there are many good brethren in Venezuela. A lot of good churches in Venezuela. Are there any churches in the jungle, in the Amazon jungle, in Brazil and in Colombia? Absolutely, there are good brethren. There are some good churches there, working hard, difficult areas to work in, but nonetheless very dedicated to the Lord. Even places like Bogota, that has 9 million people in it. There are works there. There are Christians there. And we can pray for them and we can help them how we can as we have opportunity so that the work of the Lord will continue to expand within this world so that God might be glorified. And hopefully as we hear more details from the Venezuelan brethren, I will certainly pass that on to you. And if we can be of any further assistance to them, perhaps we can be a blessing and demonstrate brotherly love toward them. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to become part of the family of God. Become part of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the remission of sins, to begin a life of service unto Him If you are a Christian and for some reason have gone back into the world, we would encourage you as well to get your priorities right. Come back to the Lord. Won't you come while we stand and sing?